It was not a major leap for a Taoist intellectual to think that Buddhism offered the same culture of withdrawal and detachment from the concerns of the world, even the same culture of non-being, because emptiness was a value that was important for Buddhists, and non-being an important way of expressing Taoist understandings of the Tao, so that a Taoist intellectual could easily move back and forth between the tradition of Taoism and the tradition of Buddhism. In Japan, the big issues, the big intellectual issues, were really different than they were in China. The Japanese wanted to know how Buddhism could strengthen the power of the emperor and unify the Japanese state. And they wanted to know how Buddhism could make peace, not with a group of Taoist intellectuals or Taoist contemplative sages. They wanted to know how Buddhism could somehow be harmonized with an indigenous religious tradition that in lots of ways was distinctively Japanese. And this indigenous tradition is what we know today as Shinto, or the way of the gods, in contrast to Buddhism, which is the way of the Buddha. Now, you can understand Shinto, I think, as the indigenous nature and spirit worship of Japan. That's a nice formula that you can use to begin to grasp what it is that Shinto is concerned with. It's a tradition that's often associated with sacred places in the Japanese landscape, especially a place like Mount Fuji, which is such an extraordinarily dominant feature in the Japanese landscape, just south of Tokyo. It also is associated with powerful natural forces like the sun, the earth, the movement of the seasons, and the wind. But the list of possible deities in Shinto includes not just the forces of nature, but anything that has superior power, including the ancestors and the emperor. So you might say that the sacred in the Shinto tradition can be manifested in all sorts of different ways and felt in lots of different ways. The deities of Shinto are known in Japanese as kami, K-A-M-I, kami. This is a word that we know already in English in the term kamikaze, or divine wind. That was an important storm, or a large storm, that played an important role in Japanese history when it once blew away the Mongol invasion fleet that was threatening Japan, and it was, of course, reappropriated and used during the Second World War to talk about a certain kind of suicide pilot who was enlisted to attempt to drive away the threat of an American invasion fleet that was threatening Japan. So the kamikaze is the divine wind, or the wind of the kami. Now, to understand the way a sophisticated practitioner of Shinto would understand the kami, I'd like to read a short passage from the work of a man named Motori Norinaga, who was a well-known 18th century interpreter of Shinto. In some respects, quite a modern figure, contemporary, probably, of Thomas Jefferson. "I do not yet understand the meaning of the term kami," he said. "Speaking in general, however, it may be said that kami signifies, in the first place, the deities of heaven and earth that appear in the ancient records and also the spirits of the shrines where they are worshipped. It's hardly necessary to say that it also includes human beings. It includes such objects as birds, beasts, trees, plants, oceans, mountains, and so forth. In ancient usage, anything whatsoever which was outside the ordinary, which possessed superior power, or which was awe-inspiring, was called kami. Eminence here does not refer merely to the superiority of nobility, goodness, or meritorious deeds." In other words, the kamis aren't always nice to you. They're not always friendly forces. "Evil and mysterious things, if they are extraordinary and dreadful, are called kami. It's needless to say that among human beings who are called kami, the generations of sacred emperors are all included."